What is up, people? This is Braxton.
This is Landon.
And welcome to the All for the Glory podcast.
Our lives should be modeled in an effort to glorify God in literally whatever we do. In this show, what our plan is we want to use this platform to tell stories, get real, have a lot of laughs, but most importantly, giving God glory in every conversation that we have, looking to point others towards Christ. Here we are.
What's
episode
up,
one.
Episode number uno. Here we are.
You excited?
I am. This is great.
I'm excited. This is cool.
We're going to start off. We're going to welcome y'all to the show. This is, we've been wanting to do this for a while now. We've been ready and it's finally here. First, we want to shout out the Music List podcast with Heather and Ben and Beth. And then Sean is on the technology aspect of things. He's also helping us out today. So they've played a huge part in getting this going for us. So we want to thank them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They've definitely helped us answer a whole bunch of questions that we've had, at least getting us.
This would have been at least another month.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
They definitely sped this up a whole lot. Yeah. just to kind of give y'all, just kind of let y'all in our minds of what we were thinking when we kind of came up with this idea. You know, Braxton, you honestly came to me first with this.
Yeah, I've been listening to podcasts a lot at work. So if y'all don't know me, I work at Malvern Country Club, greenskeeper, kind of. And I do some real estate appraising, training to be a real estate appraiser, and like to golf, all that good stuff. But I came to Landon, I've been listening to some podcasts at work on the mower, and I was like, man, Landon, we'll be on the phone for hours at a time. Like, we could do this. So I came to him, and Here we are.
Just to kind of introduce ourselves, my name's Landon Jackson. I am the youth pastor at Meadowview Missionary Baptist Church in Magnet Cove, Arkansas, kind of the Jones Mill area, for those of y'all that know where that is. I'm 22 years old. I am engaged just very recently. Getting married in December. Yeah, that's kind of some of the big stuff happening in my life. Braxton, how about you?
Maybe getting married in December. We'll see if Michaela will hold on. I don't know. Landon's kind of tough to put up with. But, yeah, like I said, I'm grounds crew guy down at the golf course. I cut greens and fairways and whatnot and do a few side jobs here and there. I like to golf, like to hang out with my family. And, yeah, life's great. God's good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So all for the glory. So kind of how we came up with this is Braxton, first and foremost, he came to me with this idea of doing a podcast. And, you know, his kind of initial idea for it is like, I think we should do a podcast that kind of targets young men, young adults that are, you know, in these walks of life that have struggles that, you know, maybe something that we're going through at the exact same time. And, you know, even if it's something just as simple as us kind of just talking through some of these things that we go through. And that's not the only thing that this show is going to consist of, but that was kind of our main goal of that, is just the things that we go through in life. You know, maybe somebody can hear something, the conversations that we have, and take something out of it and be able to apply it to their lives.
It'd be cool, you know, but if we only have five listeners in 5 years, we're cool with that too. This is going to be a blast.
Yeah.
So
we knew that the two of us would have fun doing this, and you know, if somebody else happens to enjoy this, that's cool too.
I'm having a blast right now. This is great.
Yeah. So this name, All for the Glory, where we got this from is from a verse in the Bible. It's kind of what we're basing this off. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull that up really quick and just read it to you and kind of give you an idea of how we got this name. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this right here. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That was kind of our mindset with this, is let everything we do, even if it's a simple little conversation about something that maybe not even has anything to do with the Bible.
Because that probably will happen. We may go into a rabbit hole, maybe here in a minute. We don't know. So
yeah, we don't know. We got something pretty interesting we're going to talk about in a minute that has nothing to do with the Bible.
So we're not fixing a holy roll, y'all, and just like hit you with all this stuff. Like, we're just going to be real guys, but we want everything that we talk about to glorify God and that's all. That's why we have the name that we have.
Yeah. So, as I was looking at this verse, you know, there were some things that I got to thinking about. Like, everybody, whether they think they do or not, like, we all have some sort of life-guiding principle that we live our life by. Some people are kind of different about that. You know, you have some people that...
Rise and grind.
Yeah, rise and grind. You know, they, you know, have it as their lock screen on their phone, or, you know, they have it written on their mirror that they see it every morning. But, you know, there's some other people that, you know, they don't necessarily do those things. They don't necessarily think about stuff like that. But we all have some of those life-guiding principles that we live by.
Just the motives.
Yeah, like the things that drive us every day. And for a lot of people, in whatever you do, doing it for the glory of God, that's not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people. What's the first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people when it comes to how they drive their life?
What is it going to do for me? You know, things like that.
And yeah, what's it going to do for me?
There's nothing wrong with that, because me and Landon both, I mean, time to time,
we get selfish. Oh, we do.
Like everybody does.
And yeah.
We're going to talk about that on the show, too, how, you know.
Yeah, and
that we have.
I was kind of looking at this passage of Scripture, and when Paul was in this, when he was saying, like, whether you eat or drink, I think he was making a point of, like, literally how simple it can be. And, like, whatever you do, whatever area of life that you're in, you can use it in a way that glorifies God. Like, for some people think that that might not be a spot that you can do it, you can do it. And so that's how we thought of, hey, I know how we can glorify God. Let's do a podcast.
Let me find a little verse I was going to share. If I can find it, hold on. It's, if you are faithful in the little things, it's that verse right there, Landon. You know which one I'm trying to find. Nope, found it. Oh, got it. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you will be dishonest with greater responsibilities.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of bringing it back to that kind of, that simple, like, whether you eat or drink, like, whether you, you know, just any, like, action you do, you know.
Praying
before you eat, like, that kind of, just little stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, when it comes to glorifying God, they don't really see that in the little areas. We think about glorifying God in the big areas in our life, but we don't even think about the little stuff. Like how can I glorify God at work?
Yeah.
How can I glorify God as being a boss? Like, how I treat my employees? How can I glorify God raising my kids? There's so many areas in our life that I think that we don't put that mindset of how do I glorify God in this, into that situation. And I think this verse really brings to light this kind of like culture changing idea that Jesus had when he came to this earth of all these standards that people live their lives by. Like, Jesus came and just flipped all of these things upside down.
Yeah.
And
all the rules.
Yeah. All these things that people live their life by, and these selfish attitudes in how they live. Jesus came and said, guess what? It's not all about you.
Yeah.
And if
y'all are wondering, like, how do I glorify God in anything that I do? I mean, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, just representing who Jesus is. Yeah. And to the best of your ability, that doesn't mean being perfect. But, like, that's what kind of like the part of our show is, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And we're trying every day to be more like Jesus and trying to lead in that way. So.
Yeah, but
we're going to move on now to the info on our show schedule and what to expect, which we've kind of already gone over that. But so our show, we're going to record, I think, on Wednesdays, and we're going to release new episode every Friday, probably 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday's at 8 a.m. You'll get a new show from us, and we'll try to – well, we will be consistent with that, Landon, right?
Yeah
absolutely. We will. Absolutely will. So – and our goal of the show, we're just trying to motivate, you know, Christian, you know, younger men, women, anybody who wants to listen, younger Christians through their daily life, and hopefully have some laughs and stuff as well, because I'm sure this is going to get pretty humorous, especially when we get some of these guests on here. Holy moly.
Yeah. So
about kinda, the guest.
Yeah. Yeah. So about that, this isn't something that we kind of just want to be me and him. What we want to do in the show is we want to bring some different people from all different walks of life.
Oh, yeah. Like, sharing wisdom, like just having these conversations, like everybody's learning. Like life's a journey. We're all just learning and bringing some people, you know. We may have somebody that's 15 in here, and then the next week we may have somebody that's 65. Like we literally have no clue.
Yeah.
So
this is kind of very much kind of be a fly by the seat of our pants kind of show.
We talked about maybe doing like 2 weeks, just me and Landon doing our thing, and then like 2 weeks with guests. So it's going to be, we're going to take a little bit before we start the guest thing, but when we do start that, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about that? Just kind of the idea of our show, anything that you wanted to add into that?
It's going to be so fun because I mean, we're just going to have like, so we planned on having the first 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes. Who knows? We're just talking about life. We're talking about what's going on in the world. This Biden versus Trump crap. Neither one of us are like political like that at all, but you know, we're getting a little bit of that today. We're just going to talk about life, golf, outdoors, anything we can talk about, you know, that sparks our interest. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get into our Jesus stuff there at the end. And Lana, what did we want to do about our Bible study per se?
I think what we're going to do is every episode we're just going to give it its own feel of, you know, what's going on in our life right now. What are some of the struggles that we see? What are some of the things that we tackled this week?
And what does the Bible say about that?
Yeah.
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 And as we bring these guests in, maybe it's a thing of, you know, something that they've been going through.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Things in their life, maybe their testimony.
Yeah.
Things like that. And we can talk about some of those things as well.
We're going to get deep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
boy. You ready to show me this video?
So this is going to be kind of a, like Braxton said, this will be a little segment of our show that we kind of start off with every day. It's going to be basically going to be like a what's new in the world that's around us. And this was one of the funniest things that I've ever seen.
And neither one of us are political. I haven't seen this video yet.
Yeah. So if any of y'all happened to turn on the news the other day and watch the latest presidential debate between President Joe Biden and Republican nominee Donald Trump, you noticed that it wasn't the most probably professional thing that's ever happened. I think this is definitely a first that's ever happened in a presidential debate. They got into an argument about their golf handicaps. And God. Braxton has been holding off, waiting to watch this video until now so I could show it to him live. So really quick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show this video to him.
Oh, Lord.
I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way.
Oh, do you, Donald?
He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match.
Oh, my God.
He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter, but I'm in as good a shape as I was years ago. I feel very good. I just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest.
No way.
I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. He's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah. You swing, I know you swing.
President Trump,
let's not act like children.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are the men that are fighting to lead our country. He's seen his swing. He knows his swing.
Yeah. He knows his swing. So.
What? That happened on live television?
Oh, yeah.
That was a part of the presidential debate.
Yes, yes, was their golf handicaps and if Biden was actually a 6 handicap or not.
Let's take a vote.
Over
under at Biden at a 6 handicap.
Definitely over.
Yeah.
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 Way.
I'm thinking 10 to 12. Now I've seen Trump swing, it's awful.
Like, but evidently the dude's pretty good.
I don't know. I just
the dude has won club championships. Now, I don't know if there's a little bit of cheating that goes involved into that.
And dude, he said he feels like he's 25. Is that what I heard?
Something like that.
I mean, however you feel, bro, but you look 80. Like, dude.
So,
I mean,
like, we've seen Capital One when they do, like, the match, the one they did between, like, Tiger and Rory and, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Is that who it was?
And Brady hold out.
Yeah. How much money would you be willing to pay to see, like, a Capital One, the match between Donald Trump and Joe Biden?
Oh, dude. Take my bank account. Like, take every single cent of money I have.
Would that be, like, the most live-streamed golf event ever?
Absolutely. Like, that would make the golf world go crazy. Can we not make that happen? Like, if we had Donald Trump versus Joe Biden on a golf course.
Live-streamed. Televised,
like, mics in their ear. Like,
yeah.
Dude, I mean, and then who would be, okay, so who would be commentating? Who would be, ooh, like, commentating? That's a good one.
Oh.
Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Or Hillary.
Yeah, somebody. We would need to take, like, two people from each side of the aisle to sit there. Or absolutely. Have, like, two different commentator teams of, like, a right-wing commentator team and a left-wing commentator team. Because they could just sit there and argue the whole time,
and then
too.
Theo Vaughn's the on-course guy that's going around and, like, telling them what's going on down there. You know what I mean? Apparently him and Trump are cool, and Trump and the whole UFC deal.
Yeah.
That's, like, so, I mean, that's supposed to be, but, yeah, so.
I mean, surely they couldn't play more than, like, a nine-hole match, right?
If they're walking, no way.
Well, even if they were riding around
in
carts.
Would Biden say something about if you carry your bag?
He said that he would be willing to 1v1 him in a match if both of them would walk and carry their bags.
So is he calling Trump, like, out of shape?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's calling him out of shape and old. But surely they go no longer than a nine-hole match. Like, no, I mean, that's... There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the leaders of our country.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap that up.
We're doomed.
Let's talk about the PGA Tour event real quick, this weekend while we're on golf. I had it pulled up earlier, so if any of y'all watch YouTube golf, Brian Bros Golf, Wesley Bryan, George Bryan. Wesley has been in one event this year that he was like top five or something. So that was cool. But he went out Thursday and Friday and shot like 5 under or something, like tied 14th going into Saturday. Yesterday, he blows up and shoots 2 over, and today he rolls up and shoots freaking, I don't know.
Wasn't like five over?
Like five over, yeah. Oh, I got it pulled up. And then I thought Akshay Patel was going to win. Cam Davis ended up winning. Scotty wasn't in the field. That's why somebody else won.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Scotty's won enough now that we can say that he's this generation's Tiger, right?
Yeah.
Has he won enough?
Absolutely. 6 in the last 10. Absolutely. Yeah.
How many majors has he won?
He won the Masters this year. He won. He hasn't won two majors. I think he's just won two. He won did he win the Open? No.
I don't remember.
No. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up that much.
Yeah, but his dominance is definitely something that we have not seen.
No,
since Prime
that's
Tiger.
Kinda wild. And like the way he swings, guys, if you don't watch golf, go look up Scotty Scheffler's slide. He swings a golf club and almost falls over.
If you have no clue about golf and you watch Scotty Scheffler swing,
you're like, that dude sucks.
That dude sucks. He is not a golfer.
Yeah.
But and guys,
he is the best golfer in the world. He does not miss middle of the face. So,
no. Yeah. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, with the Bryan Bros. With Wesley Bryan being on the golf course and, like, Bryson DeChambeau and even, like, Akshay, how crazy is it, like, how big and influential, like, YouTube golf has got?
It's insane. YouTube in general. YouTube with anything. Like, the destroying guy on YouTube.
He's kicking
in the NFL.
It's not the NFL, but it's like the USFL or the XFL, something like that.
One of those lower ones.
Yeah, but still, like
he came from YouTube.
Yeah, he solely got a tryout and a spot on this team because of the like social media interaction that he had. Nobody else would have ever found this dude.
And dude, I know Miles Russell, that little 15-year-old. I know he's good and Yeah, he's really good. Don't get me wrong. And he's won some events, like at the junior level or whatever. But him to be playing in a tour event, Corn Ferry and all that,
yeah.
I don't think he Monday qualified. I think he just got in it because he won the junior national championship or whatever.
Yeah.
That's crazy, too. He missed cut this weekend, but I was rooting for him.
But, like, what's insane is, like, how huge YouTube golf has blown up to the level that it has.
Oh, it's unreal.
Like, Bryson DeChambeau, you could even almost say that, like, Bryson, who's literally one of the best golfers in the world right now, puts more time and effort into his YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Than he does, like, his actual, like, PGA career.
He won the Open. That's who won the Open.
Yeah, he was the one that won the Open. Yeah. And then, like, all he's focused about is how he can make YouTube content out of that.
Yeah.
That's so cool to me. That's, like, one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Unreal.
me and Braxton, we had a pretty eventful week
this past week. Absolutely. Yeah. It was crazy.
What we kind of want to do is just kind of share with y'all what the last couple weeks has looked like for each one of us. Because in the middle of all this planning of wanting to do this and go about doing something like this, we've been extremely busy. I mean, the first time that we actually really sat down and really intently talked about this show of what we wanted it to look like was last night.
Last night. Like, yeah, we've had some ideas, but last night we sat down for 3 hours and got all this together because we knew it was time.
Yeah, and we literally haven't had a moment before that.
And, I mean, we talked about it even before I went to Belize. So let Lando go first and talk about his. He was on at camp last week. Were you at Bug Creek?
No, I was at West Central. Are you sure? Do you want to go first? I might accidentally talk for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, you go first. You go first.
I might accidentally talk for a while. Okay. All right, I'll go first. This weekend I spoke, or today. Today, it's Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This morning I actually spoke at church for the first time, which was frightening. Like,
how many people do y'all have in y'all's congregation?
It's not that bad. It's not that big. I mean, we got, I don't know, 50, 60 people probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're right there downtown, by the Walgreens.
50, 60 people. Looking them right in the face.
Oh, dude, it's scary.
It looks like about 150.
I was shaking. Like, dude, the stage, like, I'm pretty sure the stage was moving. I went up there, and I'm, like, looking down at the floor because I can't make myself look up. Because I'm up there talking, like, normally, like, public speaking, like, it's whatever. You know, I go up there public speak. I worked at a zipline park, and, like, every day I had to talk to four groups of random people about what they're fixing to do on these ziplines.
Yeah. It's different, though.
Oh, it's
standing up and talking to people that you don't know versus standing up and talking to people that you do know.
Yeah.
Especially when it's about something serious in your life. I can get up in front of a bunch of people that I don't know. This is not trying to overstep on you. But like, for example, when I go preach at different churches, like, say I get asked to fill in somewhere, it seems like to me at least, I seem way more nervous when I preach at my own church
than if you were to go to some random.
Than if I go somewhere else that I have no clue who anybody is there. And then I guess it's just because, like, you know, those are the people that you're going to see next week.
Yeah.
But if
you say something wrong, you may get jumped in the parking lot.
The very first time that I ever preached, this was a while ago.
We've been 2 years?
No, it's been longer than that. Because, like, I got this job at this church 2 years ago. I've been preaching,
shoot,
like,
yeah,
2-3 years before that. I've been surrendered to preach for every bit of five and a half years.
Oh, wait. So you've been.
Yeah. But I remember the first time that I ever did it. I did it at my home church.
Is it Mount Zion?
Yeah, at Mount Zion.
Your home church for, like, your whole life.
My very first time. And, like, so there probably wasn't 100 people in the crowd, but I remember that moment. I swore there was 450 people. It was like the most.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that mic picked up how bad your voice was shaking that day?
I had, like, a face mic on that was, like, kind of right there, right on your cheek.
So it was, like, rattling.
It had to have picked up how shaky my voice was. I remember. I've never done this except for that very first time. I got up on the stage, in front of nobody. I was the only person in that sanctuary, and literally word for word said my whole sermon just to see what it felt like standing there up on that stage. I finally got in my head that like I was prepared, ready for it. And then I got up on that stage and saw all those people, and I was like, whoa.
Dude, I think the worst thing you could have done was get it up there with nobody else there.
But so I completely get the like first time getting up in front of people and talking. That's nerve wracking.
I did get to sit down, so okay. That was good. But then my leg was like bouncing.
You're bouncing your legs.
Yeah. And then I was like in a chair that twisted. So like so you're sitting there spinning. I was sitting all there like spinning, bouncing my leg and voice shaking at the same time. There's no way. I mean, I got comfortable after I had to get through one part. And dude, it was I'm not fixing to get that vulnerable on the first episode. But yeah, I had to get through one part, and then I felt a little bit more comfortable, and I could just talk about the trip.
Yeah. So
I need to talk about the trip.
Yeah. Tell us about the trip.
So went to...
He's got his shirt on right now.
Yeah, I got my shirt on. Mission Belize 2024. So we went to Belize, me and my grandma, Melanie, and her husband, Roy, my step-grandpa. They have a 3-H Ministries, and they get together and go to Belize every year. They're out there 6-7 months out of the year. So we went out there, I guess that was June 12th through the 16th, a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. And I get on the plane on that Wednesday morning. Awful. I hate planes. I didn't know how much I hated them. We took off and like my stomach.
Have you ever flown before?
When I was like 7.
I saw, yeah.
And I was flying by myself. Little Rock to Houston, Houston to Belize. And then from Belize City on a little, dude, what do you call crop dusters? I was on a crop duster plane, and we flew over a blue lagoon. And this pilot of this crop duster plane, oh, dude, it was scary. He had like a pilot shirt on. Mm-hmm. Like he looked like a pilot. But then you look at the guy. And you're like, he don't even know his ABCs probably, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're taking off on this plane. We get over there. It was a great time. And, I mean, we did, you know, a lot of things with a lot of kids, picked up some trash, prayed with some people, played some basketball. Did I tell you about that guy at the high school?
No.
At Belize, in San Pedro, Belize, they have the next LeBron James.
Maybe, oh, really?
I may be overstepping there. Dude was good because I was decent at basketball in high school. I wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I 1v1'd him. He had me 9-2 playing ones and twos. No, down there they don't play ones and twos. They just play ones.
They don't even got a 3-point line.
To 15. Now look, I'm a little out of shape.
Yeah.
So he was beating me on that part. But even he started out hot. And he went, I mean, it was like 6-0 at one point, and then like 9-2. And then I kind of caught back up. It was like 6-10. And then I gave up because I was so out of gas. He was good though. I didn't expect that. They're all short down there. And, dude, he was probably like 5'10". No offense. But he was like 5'10", 5'11". He could handle it. He was good. But
blew by you every time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But learned a lot about grace down there. Learned a lot about – I grew spiritually while I was down there in a big way. And it was a fun time. And then on the way back, last thing, I'll let Lando get on about his – about church camp week. But that Sunday, we were headed back. We get up, get packed, and we thought we were all leaving out on the crop duster plane to go back to Belize City to get on Southwest United Airlines to head back to Houston and then head to Little Rock. So we get there at 11, and they're like, you missed your flight on the crop duster plane. And I'm like, oh, no. So I was the only one, though. My Aunt Laura, Uncle Scott, and Jude, they were getting on the 11:30, but I was supposed to be on the 11. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, can I not just get on the 11:30? Like, y'all not got room? No, we're booked up for the day. I was fixed to be stuck in Belize for like at least 3 days, probably 4 days. I was probably going to come back with my grandparents. And so I was just in the bathroom praying, dude, on the pot, not even like the lid was down. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was just sitting there. Sorry, that came out weird. But I wasn't, yeah. Anywho, so I'm just sitting there praying, like, God, please get me home, you know? I'm worried. I'm worked up. I'm ready to be home. And so I go out there, and I'm sitting there, legs bowed, like I'm just anxious, scared to death. Yeah. I'm not fixing to make it home. So the guy, he's like, hey, buddy, calls me up there. I go up there, and he's like, we can get you on the 12 o'clock. I was like, oh, yes. Thank gosh. I gave him $40. Said, here, go buy everybody lunch.
Yeah.
You know? And so did that and then got back, got on the Houston airplane, went home. It was a great trip.
What was your favorite thing you did the whole time you were down there besides playing LeBron James?
That wasn't my favorite thing. I'm putting that bottom of the list. Holy moly. Wore me out. So there's this little girl named Jayla down there. She's probably 10 or 11 years old. The sweetest little girl I've ever met in my life. Like, if I have a daughter one day and she's like half as sweet as what that girl was, awesome. Dude, she like woke me up. Like, you can be joyful wherever you're at because mm-hmm. she literally, the weekend before we got there, she has some bad family members. I'll just put it like that. A bullet went 2 feet over her head into the door.
Mm.
Like, she almost died.
Yeah.
And she was the most just joyful, like, just full of energy, like, sweet. Just being around her was probably my favorite part.
Yeah.
She, like, opened my eyes to, like, I don't have it that bad. If I'm ever in a bad mood, I need to pick it up because what the heck.
Man, my fiance Michaela, a couple years ago, with her college group at school at Wichita Baptist University, she went on a mission trip to Nicaragua. And when she came back, man, all she could rave about was just how full of joy those people are.
Oh, yeah.
And compared to us, we have it so easy and we don't even know it.
It is a piece of cake.
Those people literally have nothing.
Like, it's that kind of heat down there, you step outside and you can't, like, if you're unable to get into a body of water, you got 20 minutes before your body is drenched, your clothes are drenched. It's a different kind of hot. 100 degrees here is different than 100 degrees down there.
They're broke. They have no money.
No ACs in their house. Like, just fans.
Yeah, these people have.
They got nothing.
They have nothing. And those people are just full of joy. Every day.
They just love their life.
They are so thankful for the stuff that God gives them.
Oh, yeah.
And to us, I mean, if you threw us in that situation for a week.
Oh, dude.
What is the only thing that we would do? It's complain.
I complained even when I was there around these people.
Yeah. With all still your American commodity stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're still complaining.
Yeah.
And, like, she told me. with my youth group at church, something that Michaela was on a kick for like 6 months. Anytime they even started to try to complain about something, Michaela would hit them with, "You all don't know how good y'all got it.
Y'all really don't. She was on them.
I wish I could go drop y'all off in Nicaragua for a week. And then y'all can really start appreciating how much y'all actually have. Y'all have no reason to complain about
anything. I do feel like everybody in the world needs to go on a mission trip one time.
Yes. Absolutely.
And just to experience it, like, mm-hmm. and see like other parts of the world. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I was complaining one time we were out at, we were doing park ministry
mm-hmm.
and it's like 6-7 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, it's hot. Like, I'm sweating like crazy. This kid looked at me. He said, "Oh, you don't know hot yet." Apparently it wasn't even in the hot part of the year. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, cool to them because it was just, like, early June. Apparently, July and August down there is, like, miserable.
Mm-hmm.
No rain hardly, dust, the golf carts. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We, I think a lot, and mainly Americans need a lesson on what it looks like to be thankful.
Oh, yeah.
Even for the little things.
Oh, I need them one bad.
Yeah.
I need them one bad.
Gratitude. I catch myself getting like that, dude. And, you know, I think the sole cause of it and, like, why it affects so many Americans is what we're, like, even in, like, history class and stuff growing up, what were we, like, taught in history class, like, the goal we were supposed to chase as Americans?
What, money?
Or, like, the American dream.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, the American dream is that, like, grow up, make it on your own, make a bunch of money, buy a big house, have a good family, and, like, that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal. These people don't have that, man. They have so much joy in their
chance to do that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They do not have the chance.
No, and they're so thankful for God for all these little things in our lives. And us is, if we don't get provided a 2-story house, God, why are you putting me through this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're so unthankful, man. We're so unthankful.
But I mean, it's just the world we live in. You got social media. You can go on there and
see how everybody else is living.
Oh, yeah. You can do the comparison, scroll three times, and see that five other people are living what you want.
Yeah.
Or what you think you want, you know. Yeah. So, all right. So, how was church camp? How we do it?
So, I was at a Bog Springs church camp this week. It's over in Wicks, Arkansas. If none of y'all know where Wicks, Arkansas is, I can give you the directions really quick. You go to the middle of nowhere, and you go just a little bit further, and you're there. You found Bog Springs Church Camp. It's called Bog Springs because this place is literally like in a bog. It is like there's like kind of like raised mountains on both sides of it, and it is just down in a hole. It gets hot. It is muggy. If it is ever above 80 degrees, it feels like it's 100. And all week it was like 95 degrees. So it felt like it was 115 degrees all week.
I'm sure it was. Like the feel like, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, you don't have, there's zero cell service. Zero.
Yeah, I text you about five times.
Never went through. No, yeah. There's zero cell service. It's actually not a lot nicer than what it used to be down there. I can remember like some of my parents or like older people in our church talking about like what Bog Springs used to be like. They're like Tabernacle where they had services and stuff like that. It was basically like, it was like an open door or like an open walled, basically like just big pavilion.
Yeah.
And
everybody outside
sweating. In the blistering heat, sweating, dudes preaching in 3-piece suits. But at least now they have a real nice, really big, pretty tabernacle.
Dude, I think I went to Bog Springs. What's the other one that I just said?
Bud Creek.
Bud Creek. I went to Bud Creek. Never mind. Yeah. I went to Bud Creek. Yeah.
Now, Bud Creek is a lot nicer, at least commodities-wise.
Yeah, I'm a little more bougie.
Yeah. But there's something special about Bog Springs. I love it. Bog Springs is outside of just our church. Bog Springs was a place that like me and Michaela got really close as friends. Bog Springs was the place that I surrendered to preach. So it's
a lot of memories.
Yeah, a lot of memories. It's a really special place to me. So
that's cool.
I don't think there's ever going to be a point in my life where I try to find an excuse not to go. I don't care if I'm there's dudes there that like there's a guy named Daniel Conduit. He was the one that led services, preaching wise during the evening services.
And Hold on. Let me stop you. Let's hear the story about you preaching in the dark.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get to that because that was crazy. All right. That was crazy. That was nuts. But like these dudes have like gone for 44 straight years, never missed a year. 50 straight years, never missed a year. Just because like how cool and special this place is.
50 straight?
Dude, there's people that have done it. It's crazy.
I mean, did they not get COVID or something?
Outside of like the one COVID year where they like shut. I don't think they had camps that year or like maybe.
And
for
they've
2 years.
It 50 straight years.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
That's so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
cool. So like to kind of give you a rundown of like how a day looks at Bog Springs is you wake up, you go sit in this big old long line because we had every bit of something like 650 campers, something like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. I think the number was something around that. It was in the 600s. But you wake up, you stand in this big old line of people waiting for breakfast. The food is okay. It's okay at camp. It's not the best meal you've ever had, but I will give it this. This week, this is one of the better weeks of meals that I've ever had at camp.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know, me and Landon are huge on food. Oh, like yeah. We're big on food.
Yeah. over the whole week, I would have given it like a solid rating of like 7.3. It was, and that's not bad. That's a lot higher than what I would have used to rank it.
What are you rating like a 9.5? What's your restaurant or your food? Because that Belizean food all week was a 9 or above.
Really?
It was unreal. Yeah.
They have all sorts of spices down there, stuff we hadn't even tried.
Oh, it's not processed.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Yeah.
This cancer we're eating ain't getting us nowhere. I promise.
But
what are you rating like a 9.5? Not a 10, like a 9.5. Nine and a half.
Here's the thing. I'm probably not going to like rate a restaurant like a 9.5, but like
a certain food, like a meal,
like if I can like have just a farm fresh cut steak.
Yeah.
Like that's my 9.5. If I could eat anything before I die. That or like my mom's biscuit and gravy. That's like the two things. Those are the two things that I'm putting like way up there on my scale. This came nowhere in comparison, but it was better. So you stand in this big old line waiting for food. then after that, what they have is what they call like a class time. Basically, how you can imagine that is basically like what Sunday school looks like at church.
Yeah.
They split you into your different age groups. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, all the way up. We had an adult class. And then after that adult class, what you do is you have something called church time where you will like meet with your church that you came with. I think we brought 27.
Just kind of see how everybody's doing.
Seeing how everybody's doing, yeah. What's been their favorite part of, that's usually a question I ask them, what their favorite part of the week had been.
Yeah.
And then what we have is a morning service where we sing a couple songs. Somebody comes up and preaches. During the morning services, we had somebody different every day of the week, and then the same guy preached the evening services. But right there at the end of the morning service, what we had was we have these things called Oreo games. What we did was each church, and there was a bunch of churches there, they sent two representatives to represent your church in these Oreo games, and it was basically like if you lose, you're eliminated until down to where they had like one final team left standing.
Yeah.
And it was all these really cool games, and like they involved Oreos was like the theme of the game. then they'd release you to lunch. You'd go stand in this big old long line again. Then they have something called rec. Organized.
Like basketball and stuff?
No, it's not like it's not your typical sports. What it is it's games and stuff, but it's made to get everybody involved. And what you would do is you would play like church versus church. Yeah. And it was really fun. We played all sorts of games. Like one of these games that we played, man, it was disgusting, but it was really funny to watch as a leader. What we did is like we put bicycle helmets on the kids. We put bicycle helmets on them. You put a pool noodle in their hands. And what you did is you taped an egg to the top of their helmet. And your goal was to take that pool noodle and break the egg on the top of the other person's head.
Oh, my. I bet that got messy.
Oh, it was disgusting, but it was so funny. It was hilarious.
Poor little Johnny that didn't bring an extra pair of clothes.
Didn't bring soap to wash his hair.
Oh, man.
Here's the biggest thing about church camp, guys. There are some kids that have the mindset that going and swimming in the pool is their shower for the day. Luckily, it wasn't in our cabin. It was a different cabin, but I walked in there to smell it. They had the strangest aroma in that boy's cabin. It was like, it was the worst possible mix of body odor, farts, and Axe spray cologne.
Oh, man, that's a middle school mix.
Oh, yeah, it was the prime middle school mix. It was like
MSM, middle school mix.
It was. I think they might have accidentally created mustard gas because I was a little dizzy walking out of
that's
there.
That's rough. Man,
but
kind of like that football locker room. Like
yeah.
That,
oh, yeah. Yeah. But like worse because you were like, you slept in there. Yeah. It's rough. You have some kids that literally don't shower. I've heard stories about kids that like don't change clothes all week. It's
all week.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's one thing with me. My hygiene, like, sometimes I take three showers a day.
These kids don't care. They don't care, man.
I used to brush my teeth like four times a day, but I kind of dialed back.
Yeah.
I'm just two times now.
These 12, 13-year-old boys, they're a different breed. They don't
care.
And
you know they're out there looking for the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
They're out there smelling like...
death.
I mean...
Anyways, so you'd have like this organized rec, some church versus church games. Those were really fun. Those are really cool. Taylor Welch.
Hold on. Smell my Axe body spray.
Yeah.
Goes up on him and she's like, what is that?
That's.
All right. Sorry. That just blew my mind. All right. Go ahead.
This super cool lady named Taylor Welchman, every year she's always in charge of those rec games and she always does an awesome job with them. But then you got a good little bit of free time. Usually what they have in those moments is they have like some tournaments. Like they, on Tuesday, they had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. I got talked into playing in that. Mistake. I'm so out of shape.
That hot? Yeah. No way.
I was hot. I'm out of shape. Like 4 minutes in, I was sucking air, needing a sub. It was bad.
That's rough.
We lost out first game.
I guess they were trying to see one of their leaders just pass out.
Yeah, yeah. I sold. I sold the first game and we lost. we lost first game in. Wednesday they had like a 7-on-7 flag football tournament.
Yeah.
That was cool. I just kind of sat around and watched that one. Luckily I didn't have to play. Wednesday we had a church volleyball tournament, like kind of like your church would play together.
Yeah.
And our group, man, we did so good. We went to the championship and lost by like 2 points. All that time and effort and sweat just to be the first loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't first, you're last. Ricky Bobby.
Yeah. If you ain't first, you're last. That's how we felt about it. I was so mad. You're not supposed to get mad at church camp, but I was.
Oh, yeah.
But, so, yeah. So the whole, and then like you'd have an evening service, dinner, stuff of that nature.
So what was like best part of the week? Like, did you tell me you had something that kind of related to the verse a little bit? Or what, you were going to say something about the importance of the week.
So, yeah. Let me tell you about me preaching in the dark first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Lando in the dark.
So, this is something that I had never seen before. There's people that had been going there for so many years talking about they had never seen something like this. We're in the morning worship. It was Wednesday morning. I was scheduled to preach that day. I was going to preach the Wednesday morning service. Our theme of the week was Faith Under Fire. We looked at like the life of Elijah, all the things that he went through where his faith was put on the line, in the midst of a bunch of tough things that were going on in his life. And, Wednesday morning when I was preaching, one of the questions that I was going to try to answer in my sermon is, so what exactly is a trial in our life? Well, we got a perfect demonstration of it because the first song into the song service comes this huge storm. I mean, it is a monsoon. Pretty sure there's a tornado over us. Had to have been.
Yeah.
Because the wind was blowing like crazy. Boom.
Going to check the weather? There was no service.
There was no service.
It didn't matter.
We knew that there was like the possibility of it coming. We just didn't know how bad it was going to be.
Yeah.
Boom. Power goes out. Whole camp.
And y'all got, how many kids are in this service?
650 something kids. And you know when you got a room full of teenagers and young kids, what happens as soon as the lights go out? Yeah. So just imagine that. And this is it's a big tabernacle.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, I got 600 people.
600 people. It's imagine how tough it was trying to get everybody's attention and calm everybody down.
Oh, yeah. No mic, nothing.
No mic, no sound, nothing. And like kind of the leadership team sat down and they met and we were kind of talking about it of like, what the heck are we going to do? What we had is we had the band up there where, before I say that, there's something really cool that happened. It seemed like it was hectic, chaotic. Me and my old youth pastor, Brother Dale Hamilton, we were sitting up in the sound booth, and we were just looking at each other with our hands up in the air like, what the heck are we going to do?
Yeah.
And in the midst of all that chaos, what happened is like one by one is like these kids just like started going down on the stage, down to the altar, and like just started praying.
That's cool.
Like it was so cool. It was so cool. And like
monsoon,
yeah,
everything.
Kids just started praying.
That's cool.
And like we were thinking like, okay, we might have something here. And like the band like totally improvised. What they were able to do is they were able to get enough people's attention to like where like the lead singer, Walter, he could start playing his guitar, get to singing a song. And these kids were like remembering the songs that we had sung throughout the week.
So we're
singing these songs with no words, just full blown worship, nothing around us, no lights, no sound system, like just worshiping.
And then you got up
it
there
was awesome.
And yelled.
Yeah. So what, even in that moment, the leadership team was talking, and we were thinking about just like even just pushing the service back, not having the service, whatever. But eventually what we decided to do is like, okay, we're going to do it. I told them, I was like, I have an iPad that'll light up. I can see my notes. I got my coaching voice. It'll project. Yeah. We're like, basically just like, let's try it.
Yeah.
Let's try it. So we prayed and we did it. And I got up on that stage and I screamed as loud as I could for 30 straight minutes.
And it's different. I mean, yeah, telling a sermon's one, you know, preaching a sermon's one thing. But, dude, up there yelling for 30 minutes like that? Yeah.
Like, look at this picture. Like, we had to bring everybody basically as close as we could to hear.
Oh, dude. And what we were talking about with like the X body spray and stuff, man, that is.
For some of those people, I couldn't smell it, I think, because my adrenaline was pumping. But
if you were yelling the whole time, you were probably sucking for air.
Yeah.
And it probably didn't matter what that air was.
And about that 25-minute mark.
Yeah.
Dude, my voice started going out. My voice was breaking like every three words.
You got it out, though? I think they heard you.
I went and asked a couple of people, like some of the leaders. They were like, I never one point struggled hearing you.
That's good.
And so it was just really cool how, because like I said, we were talking about trials in our life and how like God can take a bad situation and turn around and use it for good.
Yeah. Like, and then you got 600 kids in the dark. And then Orlando up there yelling a sermon, even though something bad happened, still use it.
Yeah,
for good.
Like, that's perfect. Like God, like that was, and a lot of people were saying like this is one of the most memorable moments that like we can recall at camp. Like that's this is sweet. One of the coolest things that's ever happened. And it was like one of those situations that was thrown at us. Like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, of course this would happen now. Poor us.
Yeah.
And like God was still able to use it in like such an awesome way.
That's cool.
That was
and that may have been the most memorable thing. Sermon of the week too. So
yeah,
that's like,
I mean, I told somebody, I was like, I don't know if it was good or not, but it's definitely gonna be something they never forget. Like we're not gonna forget that moment. That was so cool how God worked through it.
That's sweet.
anything
else on camp?
We had five saved with our group. That was awesome. Wonderful. That's the reason we do it. We go sleep in some uncomfortable beds. Bear through the super hot heat, eat not terrific food.
There's something really cool about that, like, detachment. Like going to Belize, man. Like, there's something really cool about detaching, especially without a phone. That's huge.
Yeah.
Like, when, like, in Belize, like, I was on airplane mode the whole time.
Yeah.
I got Wi-Fi a few times, check up on some things, but I didn't really talk to anybody. I just kind of ghosted everybody for a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's something really special about getting detached from everything. No phone, no social media. Like, that's it. And, like, just getting, you know, getting out and just literally, like, surrounding yourself with, like, God. Like, just, I mean, just worship and, like, good things. Just surrounding yourself with that all week. Man, there's something special about it. And then there's something about the day you get back to reality that really sucks.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that I harped on is kind of like what we all called it, is like the church camp fire.
Yeah.
Is you can get real on fire for God at church camp.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second that you get back, that real world gets thrown at you, and you can as quick as that flame's put out.
Because when you do that, you're in a whole different place. Yeah. Like, you're in somewhere that you're not used to, so it's like you're starting fresh. So, like, you get to this place, like, you've never been here, you don't even know what you're doing, and, like, you build a foundation at that place you're at of, like, what you do there, how you feel there, like, how God feels your heart. And then you get back to maybe your home, and maybe some of those kids have an awful home life.
Yeah,
get back to that, and you're just like, oh, well, there was no point in that, and they never go back to church camp.
Yeah, because, I mean, at church camp, you're surrounded by people that believe the same thing you do.
Yeah.
It's easy to trust God then and love God and say that God's good.
Simple.
But, like, you get thrown right back into this real world that hates God and doesn't want anything to do with him. It's hard to keep that flame alive.
It is.
And but
that's why you got to renew your mind every day. We'll talk about that 1 week, renewing your mind. But we're running out of time here. You got anything else?
Just want to say thank y'all.
Thanks so much. Guys, we posted that thing on Facebook. If anybody on Facebook has me or Landon, I posted that deal, just kind of throwing the idea out there. I told Landon, like, you know, if we just get a couple likes and some comments and some leads, you know, we'll be okay.
And there's so much
support.
There's
like 80-something likes and 20-something comments, and we got in touch with Sean here, and he's got us going on all this. So thanks for all the support, guys. Like, we really appreciate it, and we hope that y'all listen every week. We'll have another episode this time next Friday. And anything else, Lando?
I think that's all we got.
But thank you, guys.
Thank you all for joining us this week on All for the Glory.
Make sure to check us out on our social media platforms. We've got Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, at All for the Glory Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.